Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101.
Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gal and Carla Dawson.
I got that.
All right, hour number two underway, and Jose, I need your help with this because somebody brought this into me. I thought it was very helpful. It's the ways that you can become, well, your boss's favorite employee. And everybody's, I'm the boss, she's the gloss, and there are some things that people are supposed to do to win the hearts of their bosses, right? And I'm not sure Carla measures up well on some of these.
Jose, you're going to show me up, I can tell, but
okay,
go for
shoot.
It.
First of all, you got to try to solve your problems on your own. And while she seems to, I can tell you this, every week she comes in with some kind of physical ailment, and I have to keep reminding her to put Blue Emu.
That is true.
Hey, but Blue Emu works, so be glad for that.
All right. 2 weeks ago was her shoulders. Last week it was her wrist.
It's always something, but the Blue Emu fixes it.
Because I'm flicking them at you boys.
Look at her go now. All right, number two. And I would never want her to do this. She's supposed to tweak her communication style to match mine. I don't need her to do that.
I think we'll give her a pass on that one.
Yeah, we'll give her a pass. People like her communication style better.
Should Jose tweak his? I like Jose's communication style.
Well, see, Jose y yo hablamos español.
Sí, muy bien.
Yes. For once, just once, be sure to say, thanks, boss.
Do I not say thank you enough?
Maybe. I don't know. What do you think, Jose? I need your help.
I plead the fifth on that
Plead the fifth. All right, stay out of that one.
Muchísimas gracias, jefe.
All right, the next one.
Had to show
kill
you
two birds with one stone.
That's right. I'm working on it.
The next one on this list of things to do to sort of make your boss happy with you, this is really odd. I don't think we need to tell her this one. It says, speak up. Be willing to voice your opinion.
Hold on, let me
do
turn
you
her
really
mic down
want
first.
More of that?
She doesn't need that. Does she need more help?
Is
Jose
there a,
has just cut the wires on my mic. So,
yeah. Is there a bake more chocolate cupcakes?
Oh, now, I do owe you some,
because
Jose.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. Fair.
The award-winning, much-renowned cupcakes from the Gloss.
Triple chocolate.
Yeah, that's a
no
pleaser.
Frosting
that
needed.
That helps the whole office feel good about
Jose,
the Gloss.
Jose, that's fair. I'm going to do you right next week.
All right, when we come back, we're going to look at what LeBron James and the Lakers need to do to please their bosses, which is public opinion, when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, it was interesting reading this weekend, thinking about the most disappointing NBA teams of this season. And actually, I put the Celtics right up there because there were such high expectations when Hayward and Irving were coming back.
They're close to your heart, too.
And they've had a very disappointing year. But, of course, the jury's still out. They might still make a run. They could come together. Who knows? The tide could turn. They might have a really deep playoff run. Lakers are not going to have a deep playoff run. They've now been eliminated. they certainly rank high as one of the most disappointing teams of this year. Expectations are totally different, right? When LeBron came, there was talk of championships. Not so much anymore.
No, I mean, honestly, this is what I would want to ask Laker Nation. Is just making the playoffs enough? You've sacrificed so much to bring in LeBron James, you know, giving him the max that they could give him. Is making the playoffs enough?
It's been 6 years since the Lakers made the playoffs. That's a tough, long season of drought.
And I'd love to go through it. I don't exactly know the answer. You might know because you know so much about sports history, but it seems like every time
she's
the
just
Lakers...
suggesting that I'm very old. Did you hear that, Jose? It was just a subtle point.
I did catch that.
Yeah. I mean, now. Maybe I'm just going to say, well, you're thus too young. You're at 26. You're not going to know everything about sports history.
You have
you'll
deep
figure it out
knowledge,
eventually. Thank you.
Like Blue Emu.
Oh, yes. Now you got
there
me.
There you go. But every time the LA has brought a superstar, you know, when you go back to, I'm blanking on his name. Who's on the seal, the NBA seal? I love this guy.
Oh,
Jerry West.
Great Jerry West. And then, but you're really going back now.
I'm really going back.
Okay.
And, you know, then the Magic Johnson, when they bring in a superstar, they win. They have brought in LeBron. Now, it is the first year, but
I could add Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to that list,
absolutely.
Of course. Jerry West, Kareem, Magic, Kobe, and now they sit here with LeBron, and really, prospects do not look very good.
No, and so I would love to see the track record of making a big move, the big move like they have done in the past, and it usually works out for the Lakers. And I'm not saying it's not with LeBron, but this year has been... I don't think what anybody expected.
Right, right. Of course, Kobe, they drafted it, but it's a different realm. All right, let me ask you this, though. Luke Walton, by everyone's account, is on his way out. I'm going to give you three choices for the next coach, the next head coach of the Lakers. I'll let you pick one. Ready?
Okay.
Ty Lue, Jason Kidd, or LeVar Ball? What do you think?
I'm sorry.
I mean, LeVar Ball's my first choice. What do you got?
I'm going to... That's good.
You appreciated that one, didn't you?
I appreciated that one. Yes, I did. I'm going to go with Ty Lue.
Really?
Because he is the most, honestly, this is going to be a bit harsh. To me, LeBron is a coach killer.
Mm.
He is. And Ty Lue has been able to succeed the longest, like as a coach figurehead. I think LeBron respects him. I think Ty Lue understands what he's getting with LeBron. LeBron understands what he's getting with him. And that's half the battle. I mean, David Blatt, who was the coach before Ty Lue, really did a great job with the Cavaliers. There was no chance in God's green earth he was keeping that job because LeBron James had zippo respect for him. And it was sad to me, honestly, because he's a good coach.
Yep.
But it was very blatant. So I think LeBron does respect Ty Lue. He was a former player. He just relates to him better. So I think it'd be a good choice. Who do you like besides LeVar?
No, I'm going with LeVar Ball because I want good entertainment. The idea of LeVar trying to coach LeBron with Lonzo on that team. I mean, think of the optics there. That would be great theater.
Except Lonzo may not be back. I mean, this injury situation is going to be really tricky.
Well, one thing we do know will be different in Lonzo's case is it looks like he'll have a different pair of shoes next year.
Yes, he will. Wow.
So, of course, the Big Baller brand was formed by the Ball family and a partner, and that deal has gone awry. I mean, it looks like...
The partner ran off with $1.5 million.
$1.5 million. You can never fault anybody for trying to build their own brand. And, in fact, there's an argument that someone like Zion could build his own shoe brand or at least try to use that as leverage to capture more dollars from a Nike or somebody who's going to spend a lot of money. But the whole promotional element of the Ball family, the Big Baller brand, all the drama, all the hype.
All the hot air.
All the friggin' hot air.
You know,
it's hard not to just sort of smirk a little bit.
Well, absolutely. And you think of how controlling LeVar appears as a dad.
Yep.
You know, and when you have that much control, I mean, he pulled his two kids out of high school. You know, once he got Lonzo to the Lakers. Without LeVar, I mean, credit is marketing. I've got to give it to him. And it's not that Lonzo was not a good player. He was, but is he a number two player in the draft? No, because he wasn't, you know, he was fragile. He's a small kid.
If you did a redraft of that year right now,
geez.
I don't know that he'd be top 10.
No, De'Aaron Fox would be a Laker to me.
Yeah.
Rather than Lonzo. But the kid's a good kid. Everyone liked him at UCLA. He was a good teammate. He was a good player on the floor, all of that. But dad controls everything. So dad now takes LiAngelo and LaMelo out of high school, puts him in Lithuania in some league. Totally terrible move. And, you know, now, and so we've also got the one, I can't remember, I think it's LaMelo, that stole the sunglasses. When all of that started happening, all of a sudden, we don't really hear from LaVar. Isn't that crazy? But what my thought is, for such a controlling guy who basically is messed up for the other two kids, how can he not be controlling who is working for the brand they're trying to, like, you can look in and see if someone has a criminal record. This guy had some criminal records.
Yep.
Like, what's your deal, buddy? You are so in everybody's business except your own business. So that's pretty flagrant on his part. He's talking out of both sides of his mouth.
Right.
Controlling the boys, and his boys are talented, some more so than other. And then, you know, trying to do something really hard, starting a business, and not doing your due diligence about who you let in. Not good sense there.
No, fairly noted. I mean, it all hinges now on whether they can attract another big-time free agent, one of the max size. Those guys are out there. There'll be 4 or 5 great names. If they don't get one, it's going to be a long – I mean, winter is coming in Los Angeles. It will be a very bleak, bleak run there.
Because there are questions. There's injury questions. If you just look at the team, the starting five that they have now. So Lonzo Ball, he's been out – he's shut down for the season with an injury and really don't know what the future of that holds. Same with Brandon Ingram. And it's definitely something with, it's not exactly what Chris Bosh had, but it's some sort of a tricky blood clot related type of thing. That's scary. Kyle Kuzma, he's developing along, but you know, Paul George didn't want LeBron. There's too many loves. LeBron could not get Paul George to come to LA. He could not get Kawhi Leonard to come to LA. You know, maybe people are seeing the writing on the wall and they want to play with them. I don't know.
I mean, we talk about the big free agents. The other big swing is who gets the number one pick, who gets to take Zion, hypothetically the next LeBron James in the league. Mm-hmm. Obviously the best chances it looks like will be the Knicks will have the best chance. Of course, there's still a minority opportunity. But
Suns could have a chance as well.
I would love Zion end up in New York. I think that he's the linchpin. It would be great for the league.
Chicago could get him too.
It would make the Knicks relevant again. It'd be great.
Yes, it would make them relevant. Absolutely. The thing that just I'm scratching my head about is, you know, James Dolan is, I think, possibly one of the worst owners in all of sports. It is the fourth most valuable franchise in the world, the New York Knicks, and the most valuable NBA franchise. And they have had a losing record for 6 seasons. Solid. Haven't made the playoffs. I mean, they're terrible.
Yep.
So they don't really need Zion. They're going to get Kevin Durant. I'm pretty sure about that.
All right. So get Durant, get Zion, and Knicks are back in business.
They're back in business.
We shall see.
But it's pretty impressive what they've done with that brand.
Do not forget the great Willis Reed. Show my historical perspective on all things. All right. When we return, we're going to get a chance to visit with Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. We'll talk to him about all things NFL when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, when you need auto parts but you can't get to a store, you need to visit O'ReillyAuto.com. You can buy your parts online and then pick them up in the O'Reilly Auto Parts store of your choice. No shipping cost, easy returns, and a convenient pickup on your schedule. Shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'ReillyAuto.com, O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. Welcome to the show, Chris. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, how you guys? How you doing?
Well, we're doing great. We're glad to have you back. I want to begin by, of course, the big news, Rob Gronkowski retires, and we could all talk about how exceptional he was. My question is, if you were running the Patriots today, Now, you do have 6 picks in the first 100 selections of the draft. But if you're running the pitchers today, how do you begin to replace Rob Gronkowski? And what do you do with the receiving core in general?
Well, you know, if you look at the history of the Patriots under Belichick and Brady, they've kind of morphed themselves into different styles. They've gone to more of a running team. I would expect that they're going to add a tight end in the draft. That's why they have a lot of picks. And it gives them an opportunity if they want to move up and get somebody, let's say that they have targeted and graded high, they can do that. Or they can stay just where they are and draft one that they think has value a little bit later. And I would imagine that they'll add a receiver or two. They haven't been as successful, quite frankly, of drafting receivers. It's one of the real anomalies for all the success that they've had. They haven't done that. But, look, I think that if you look at their roster right now and you say, where are the playmakers going to be, it is fair to question it because Gronk was such a mismatch in terms of coverages that they're going to miss him. They're going to miss him a great deal. But I wouldn't shed a whole lot of tears because I think that they'll figure out a way to be able to run the football a little bit better, and I do think they'll add a tight end. It won't be maybe to the level of Gronk, but they've got some work to do. It's the best way I can put it. But they always manage to do it. I think they're going to be vulnerable a little bit, but they always seem to be vulnerable. It's just being able to beat them when it matters the most. That's always been the challenge against them.
We're talking to Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. You can read him at LandryFootball.com. Okay, so by some people's estimation, the draft starts at number 3, right? Number 1 will be Kyler Murray to the Cardinals, and you got Bosa going to the 49ers, and the Jets at 3 don't need a quarterback. And if there's a frenzy for Haskins, the Jets might be in a position to trade down. Could you see that scenario unfolding, and who do you think would like to trade up with the Jets to get Haskins?
Well, I've mentioned it. I've talked about it in my notebook at LandryFootball.com that I think the Jets are definitely open for business. Listen, I think anybody that's in a need for a quarterback that has, and I think there are a number of teams would definitely be interested. Is it do the Jets, would they particularly be thrilled to do business with the cross town team? Perhaps I think at the right price they would be, but there's to me an impact player there as well. So I think it would, to me, depend upon how far they would need to move down in my mind, because I think that Quinnen Williams would be a great pick for him. I think there's some impact guys on the defensive side, but I don't know necessarily. I don't know that the Giants will definitely be interested in moving up, but I think there'll be some teams that would consider it. Miami might consider it. It's just a matter of, how far the Jets would be willing to move down and what they would get in terms of their traded down position and then what they would get in terms of compensation. So let's see how it plays out. Listen, I don't know that it's a definite that the Cardinals take Murray. I think most people think that, but I still think there's some intrigue. But I think definitely at 3, it's going to be very intriguing to see what the Jets do, stay or trade into whom.
And, Chris, sticking with the quarterback, so with going out to Oakland or Las Vegas soon to be, with 3 first-round picks and Derek Carr's basically on a 1-year deal, just to see how this year plays out, do you see John Gruden taking a quarterback early this year? They've got 4 picks in the first 35, and, obviously defense needs to be their main focus. Will they take a quarterback, and then will they be disciplined enough to draft defensive players? It's a good draft.
I think they'll draft defensive players. I think that, there are too many good defensive players for them to not take advantage of it. I mean, this is a team that traded away Khalil Mack, and now they're, in a position to where they're going to try to replace him. If they don't do that and do that with all the picks they have, they're going to continue to fall further into the abyss. Now, the quarterback spot, it's a great question because, Derek Carr has proven to be a good quarterback at times in this league, but he hasn't played well under John Gruden. And it's been a short stint, I know, but it doesn't look like that he has the same comfort level that neither does Derek with him when Derek was close to being a MVP candidate. So it is a fair question to say that they might look at a quarterback, but who does John like? Who does he fall in love with? He falls in and out of love with players very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. So you wonder who that might be. Does he maybe like a Daniel Jones or a Ryan Finley? To me, I think Derek Carr is a better option than pretty much anybody that he could draft. So we'll see what he does. But if John Gruden doesn't think so, you know, it doesn't really matter because he's calling all the shots there.
We're talking with Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. And, Chris, sticking with Derek Carr for a minute in Oakland. So Antonio Brown, new wide receiver, big splashy free agent trade. Here we go. He has been very public about the relationship he is making with Derek Carr. You know, he attended his son's birthday party. He showed up at his doorstep saying, surprise delivery. You know, he's obviously really trying to make a statement about, I want to mesh with my quarterback. And it, you know, and I love that he's doing this publicly, especially coming from Pittsburgh and having so much, you know, turmoil with Ben Roethlisberger that was public.
Right.
Do you think that is going to play into it too? Maybe this next year, and part of the evaluation is how well Brown and Carr mesh together.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, listen, if Derek Carr and Antonio Brown have success, and they've obviously put in a lot of money for a tackle that to protect Carr. So, listen, if they have success, I think Derek Carr's future is good in Oakland. I don't think it's written in stone that John Gruden is not going to keep him, but I do think that he's going to be looking at this very closely. And if they do have success this year, I think they go forward with him. If they don't, then it'll be up to him to figure out why. A lot of the moves that they've made have been a little curious, and it's definitely been about kind of the moods of John Gruden, if you think about it. He and Khalil Mack didn't hit it off well, so he's gone. He's shipped out.
From the get-go, right.
Now they're trying to – you talk about, you know, finding a player, defensive player in the draft. They're hoping to get a guy, you know, three-quarters as good as Khalil Mack, but, you know – they didn't get along, okay, so that's fine. Amari Cooper, they made a move with him, and they got some value, didn't like him. And, you know, last year, so you're thinking, all right, look, they're going young, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to rebuild. Well, then they go out, and I know they traded for Antonio Brown, a guy that you've alluded to very accurately has been a little bit of a malcontent off the field. They signed Vontaze Burfict, another guy that's been a locker room problem. So you're thinking, okay, exactly what are they doing here? They're getting younger one day, but then they're not the next day. It seems a little bit hodgepodge, and I don't know exactly that it fits the profile of what they want or what they say that they're doing. I think this draft is going to be really important, and I think the play of the quarterback, Derek Carr, is going to be really important because if he's not the guy, then where do they go? And as you mentioned, maybe there is somebody that they like. Maybe they take one high. There's a number of different possibilities. We're going to learn a lot more, not just in a month or so, but throughout this season as to where the Raiders are. And you know, the one issue with John, and I've known John for a long time, I've known his dad for a long time, I know his brother Jay, John has never been the best at developing young players, which is why that all the talk about him considering college jobs never made a whole lot of sense. Mm. And you look at, you know, when he went to Tampa, he was the right fit at the right time, and he did a great job, and he got him over the hump. But the longer he was at Tampa, the worse that team got. Well, he has more control now than he ever had in terms of personnel. So we will find out what John has truly learned in that time away from football about personnel and the decisions that he's going to make, because that's going to determine whether he's going to be successful or not. Now, he's got a long contract. He's going to make a lot of money, but you know, you could see this going bad pretty quickly. It's gotten off to a bad start, but it could get even worse and completely come off the rails if they don't draft well with all these picks, with all this draft capital. If they don't hit and hit big, it's going to be tough.
We're talking to Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. Read him at LandryFootball.com. Okay, we've got about 1 minute. We're sitting here in Houston Texans. The Texans came into the offseason with two specific needs, defensive backs and offensive line. How do you see they're handling the first two rounds of this draft? Nobody wants them to stretch, but they certainly want them to fill those needs. You've got about 30 seconds to assure the Houston fan base there's a good plan.
Yeah, listen, I think that it's always great to say first round we do this, second round we do this. I can't stress this enough. The draft, and having done this for 30 years, it's about drafting the best players. I think there'll be a couple of impact players, perhaps at both of those positions, but if not, fill them later, get good quality. I think this is a good team that can't afford to fall back by not taking the best player with those two picks.
Chris Landry, read him on LandryFootball.com. Thanks so much, Chris.
Hey, thank you, guys. Take care. Have a good evening.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Hi, welcome back. It is time for our He Said, She Said segment. This is a segment that always gets Carla dancing. Well done, Jose. You turned the music up. She started moving. All is well. Let's go to the first one. The He Said, She Said segment. We hear from sports luminaries across the globe, and we respond to what they had to say. One of the most intriguing questions in the NFL draft is, what will the Cardinals do with the number one pick? And Cliff Kingsbury, their new head coach, the young one, had an interesting exchange. He was interviewed by Steve Wyke of the NFL Network, and the question was, what will the Cardinals do?
You're doing your due diligence and all that. Clearly you're doing due diligence on quarterbacks. Is there the possibility that you could go quarterback with that first pick?
I think everything's on the table. I think, like I said, when you have that first pick, you've got to turn over every stone and look at every scenario that's out there. And so we're definitely doing that.
Your reaction? Do you take it at face value? Are they really doing their due diligence, or they picked Murray already?
They're probably doing some due diligence. What else is he supposed to say?
Right.
He can't tip his hand.
But the conventional wisdom is that they will take Murray number one, trade Rosen, get whatever draft capital they can back for him. If you were a Cardinals fan, would you feel good with that move, drafting a 5'10 quarterback when a 5'10 quarterback has never won a Super Bowl? I guess Russell Wilson would be the closest to that mark.
If I'm a Cardinals fan, I saw Josh Rosen and thought, wow, he didn't do anything for me.
Yep.
Okay, next.
Yep.
And I'm a frustrated Cardinals fan.
Yep.
It's been bad for a long time.
Would you take Dwayne Haskins or Kyler Murray?
I would take that's tough.
That's a tough one.
It is tough.
Yeah.
No, I would take Kyler Murray. I suppose I would. That's tough because I probably wouldn't take him number one overall.
Right.
But that's where Arizona sits. And I did in the rest of that interview, I saw that on the NFL Network. Cliff Kingsbury goes on to say that, you know, really very effusive praise for Josh Rosen and this and that, which, you know, I took that as, hey, that's the right thing to say. And you want to talk him up. You want someone to take him. The guy went number 10 last year.
Sure.
And he hasn't played up to it at all. And so, but you want him to sound good for trade bait.
Well, and there are whispers that if they are trading him, some people say it'll be worth a third round. Some people say a late first. So obviously they'd love to get as much value as they can. If they're going to ditch him, get the value you can.
He's saying the right things.
All right, let's go to number two. This is Cam Newton, who was talking about his off-season regimen. He likes to, challenge himself. So let's hear what Cam Newton said that he is abstaining from this whole month here in the off-season.
In March, I'm given, I hope this is an adult crowd. It looked like it is. No, sure. Climax.
Mm. Woo! Oh. Shut the front door.
Straight up.
No.
I'm going through a transition right now. Like,
I'm gone.
They should at least done it in February. You got 28 days in February.
Is that TMI for you? I mean, he's pretty forthcoming here.
You know, honestly, I'm going to surprise you with my answer.
Okay.
I watched that, you know, live when that happened on that show. And honestly, I really – that made me think differently of Cam Newton in a good light.
Really?
It's like, I really appreciate what this guy's doing. He is really trying to switch his mental gears. Like, he did not have a great season last year. And we saw many sides of Cam Newton in these press conferences that were not flattering. And he is trying to give himself a mental edge. And first, the first month of the year, he became a vegan. The second month, he was a pescatarian, or I don't know what the heck it was. Then the third month is abstaining from
climax.
Yes, that's a weird way to put it. But
that's what he said. Yes.
So I think, you know what? That is hard for a guy. So I think good for you. And he's very honest about how difficult that was. And I was actually really impressed. I think he's really trying to change his mental focus, and he realizes what I did last year, whatever it was, coming back from a shoulder injury, that was not productive. It didn't help my team. So, hey, it's 1 month. But what this guy's doing, it's called discipline.
Some would say it's 1 long month.
No. I love that you should have picked February. It was 28 days. How hilarious is that?
All right, you've heard it from the gloss.
I like it.
The female perspective on Cam Newton's plight. Let's go to the next one. Well, this has been the most thrilling game of the NCAA tournament thus far this year, at least, was Duke surviving UCF. And Coach K, after the game, he was very gracious in victory, and he admitted that this win was his toughest of the season. Let's hear from Coach K.
Obviously, Johnny's team was magnificent. I mean, they were so well prepared. That's as high a level of any team that we've played against all year. They were men. Aubrey wasn't outstanding. He was magnificent.
I mean, you've got the best coach in the nation effusively praising not only Johnny Dawkins, but the entire UCF team, including Dawkins' son Aubrey, who really... The basketball gods just had the lid on that basket with those last two shots. It was a killer.
Coach K, great coach, obviously deeply passionately wanted Duke to win, but it was clear he respected the commitment, the effort, the all-in competitive fervor of UCF, gave them a lot of shout-out on the end. And now the whispers are that when Coach K steps down, Johnny Dawkins will step in as the new coach of Duke.
Boy, that would be a pretty seamless transition. Mm-hmm. But I love that sportsmanship, that display. That was really perfect. Classy.
Next, we hear UCF. Well, they were devastated in losing in such a dramatic fashion. Their head coach, Johnny Dawkins, had this to say after the loss.
Really a problem. What you did this year, not just tonight. You did this year representing our program, representing our university. Couldn't be more proud of how you handled yourself on and off the court. And you guys have been terrific. And look, man, we always said it's going to end two ways when you invest like we invest. We're going to end, man, celebrating. We're going to end crying. We're going to end in tears. We end in tears. That's because we invested, as I said before, so much in each other and so much in what we were doing. And again, man, I told you guys before, I love you guys. It's been amazing coaching this group. And like I said, for us, we got a lot of good memories, man. A lot of good memories. We've accomplished a lot of amazing things this year. And I know that doesn't, you know, do anything for us right now, but at some point in time, it will.
I can't even comment. I'm about to start crying. That is just what do you say? He said beautifully what he could say, but there are no words that can take away with those young men.
No, I mean, he highlighted there's nothing to offset the loss in this particular moment. But over time, I think as they get perspective on what the season was, the relationships they have, and frankly, how competitive they were against what will probably go down as one of the best collection of talent that Duke has. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can hold their heads high, but obviously very sad and hard to hear those tears in the background.
Oh, that was brutal.
All right, on the other end of the spectrum, Houston Cougar coach Kelvin Sampson, they were winners, and the Cougars are very much alive. They face Kentucky next. But Kelvin Sampson, he dedicated the Sweet 16 trip to his fans who've supported the Cougars for years. This is Kelvin Sampson, coach of the Cougars.
I think it means more to the fans than it does us, the 30, what did you say, 84? You know, these guys weren't born, so that means nothing to them. You know, it's like when they came here, you know, everybody likes to talk about Fight Slam and Jam, but these kids didn't know who they were. They never heard of them. That's for the old guys. But the five-year thing's significant. The 30 years is not, since 83 really isn't. That means a lot to our fans, though. They take pride in it. I saw a lot of proud Cougars up there behind us tonight, and the ones I was happiest for were the guys that's been supporting this program since those days.
Good time to be a Cougar fan.
Oh, it is. And you know, when Kelvin Sampson took over this program, it was in shambles. It was a mess. The university didn't know what direction they were going and missed anything. They were playing in a crummy rundown arena. Credit President Renu Cater. Credit Chairman of the Board Tillman Fertitta. They hired the right people in Kelvin Sampson, in Tom Herman, and now in Dana Holgorsen. You know, they realized that athletics is one area that U of H needs to have excellence in, as well as other things. And it has really put this school on the map, and it's put this program in the right direction. They are sold out in the Fertitta Center.
Fantastic. It's, and a great new center it is.
Absolutely. And Kelvin Sampson was the right guy to come in. He is, you know, he is all about family. He will love you as hard as he will yell at you. And the players respect him. And it's just been, it's happy town in H-Town for these guys. Wow. And all well-deserved.
All right, let's shift to the West Coast and let's shift to baseball. Mike Trout signed a massive extension with the Angels, a record deal. And in his press conference, you'll hear him explain that he never planned to leave the Angels.
You know, obviously, a lot of talk about going back east and back to Philly. But, you know, I enjoy every minute being here. This is my home. You know, I love it. You know, a lot of things went into it. I think the direction of the franchise, that was big for me. I think if it was going the other way, I would have had to consider, you know, going. But, I never crossed my mind that I was going to be Angel for life, for sure.
Well, if you give me that kind of money, I'm going to say that. I really believe he is genuine. And you can see that even though Rob Manfred, commissioner of MLB, wishes that he was more demonstrative about promoting baseball.
More promotional, sure.
More promotional. Look how those fans adore him. He's yep. very well received because, you know what? He's kind of one of us, even though he's not.
Right.
He makes himself very relatable to the fans. He's just humble. He loves his wife. He loves the game of baseball. And he's pure with the game of baseball. He's a solid guy as a player, as a person, as an ambassador for the game. He is worth $430 million.
Great day for the Angels, yeah. No doubt, to wrap him up. And, I mean, it is interesting. We were talking to Sider earlier, the writer from Sports Illustrated. He thought there was a chance that Trout could have gotten more if he'd waited and become a free agent, okay, even more. Crazy. I mean, that's just crazy money. In another moment, Trout certainly said that part of his motivation to take a deal now was seeing how hard it was, how sluggish it was for Harper and Machado in the offseason.
Yeah, 2 years
so
of sluggish.
Everybody lands in a good place in this deal. The Angels certainly do, and so does Mike Trout. And nothing wrong with living in Anaheim for a couple of years, or a lot of years in this
12,
case. Yeah, 12.
Exactly.
He'll be there a long time.
Yeah. And it wouldn't be bad. California's a good place.
All right, another guy who has, well, a lot of money in the pocket and a commitment to stay in one place for at least a while, Justin Verlander. He signed an extension with his current team, the Astros, and he explained why Houston is such a good situation for him.
You guys help make this transition easy, and that's saying a lot. My teammates in the locker room, you guys have made this so much fun. It's been some of the most fond memories I've had in baseball in my career because of you guys. And that support goes a long way, and that's a major reason why I wanted this extension here, to continue to be a part of this, to continue this legacy here in Houston with the best organization in baseball, with the best team in baseball, and hopefully we can come away with a championship or two more in my time frame here. So thank you, everybody, and particularly Jim.
You know, he said at another point in that press conference, he said, this has been, in my opinion, the best organization in baseball, and I'm just humbled to be a small part of that.
Mm.
I mean, we're talking about
high praise from a one of the best players. Yes, extraordinary. You
know, and he's probably not done. I mean, he's so the Astros lock him up until he's 38 years old.
Yeah, it could be his last contract. Amazing thing is word out of spring training, he's working on his changeup. He's pitching the ball as well as ever. He's poised to have a great season. He does not look like a guy who's going to tail off at the tail end of his career. He looks like he's going to really invest. He's got effectively 3 years left to go here with the Astros now.
He's locked in, and he is just a master at preparation. And this contract, two-year, $66 million extension through the 2021 season, makes him the largest base salary in Major League Baseball history.
Mm.
So he tops Zach Greinke. At $31.4 million.
Yeah, sure deal, though, for the Astros. They get him, but they're not committed for lots of years on the tail end.
Right, they're willing to do a short deal.
Mm-hmm. Great day for the Astros. Great day for Verlander. All right, that's the He Said, She Said segment. When we return, we're going to take a look at what we've learned from the gloss over the last 2 hours on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Indeed, this hour has been sponsored by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. And this is my favorite segment. It's only a couple minutes, but we get to look back and see what we learned from my co-host here, The Gloss. Let me run down a few. First of all, you think the Lakers' next best coach should not be LeVar Ball. You're going to go with Ty Lue.
Going with Ty Lue.
All right. Fair enough. Number two, you think the Astros' signing of Verlander, the extension, was a good move for the Stros.
As well as Alex Bregman's extension.
You love like it. Both deals.
I love it. Yes, absolutely.
Can Bregman be the star, the flamboyant social media phenom that other people are?
I don't know if I'd say flamboyant, but he's got the perfect amount of chutzpah.
Fair enough.
It's just perfect for the Astros and baseball.
Here's a guy with some chutzpah, Cam Newton.
Yeah.
You commend him for his month-long commitment to no climax.
Yes, and I also commend his other month-long commitments to being a vegan. Just disciplining yourself. I really appreciate that, and I'm impressed. So let's see how it translates into a season.
I'm going to call Cam Newton.
You might have to do the same.
I'm going to do the same. Okay. Next month. I'll pick February, actually. And lastly, you're all in on the Cougars. They're going to upset Kentucky.
I think it's going to happen.
Very exciting times. Woo! And the glosses, I will say the glosses bracket has been outstanding. It's nearly all intact. You're on a roll.
Not bad.
Another guy on a roll, Alex Gold, will be coming up next on SB Nation Radio. Be sure to listen to the gold standard. Alex Gold next.